we're taking a break today from our Ten Commandments series, okay, because you'll have to wait till next week to hear about the Ninth Commandment, which is you shall not give a false testimony or lie. But I wanted to really focus on the fact that, did you realize that, I know, you know, we just said Happy New Year, but this is really the beginning of a new decade, right? It's like a new decade. You know, we're starting 2020. And I think it wasn't, it didn't dawn on me until I was recently looking at Facebook, that you know, a lot of people started kind of posting things about all of the milestones over the last 10 years in their own lives, right? And you know, significant milestones from 2010 to 2019. And I don't know if you've had a chance to review your life over the last decade. You know, what God has done in your life. You know, and if not, you know, I really want to encourage you to take some time out to really see and reflect on what God has done over the last 10 years. You know, maybe for some of us, maybe within the last 10 years, that's where we met Jesus. You know, maybe for some of us within the last 10 years, that's where we were baptized. You know, maybe for some of us, we graduated from school, or we found our first job, or we found someone we're going to marry, right? Or maybe some of us may have retired within the last 10 years. You know, maybe God changed something in our heart over the last 10 years. You know, and since this is the first Sunday of this new year and really of this new decade, I wanted to use this time to really set the tone for this year. You know, for you and I, for our New Vine family, to really set the tone as we enter this new year and new decade as a church family. And I was asking the Lord what he wanted to say to us as a church body. And he reminded me of a passage from the New Testament, from actually the book of Matthew, chapter 6. And so now that our computer is now functioning again, I'm going to have you all stand up and join with me as we read from Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Let's all read this together in one voice. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Thank you. Please be seated. Now, this may be a very familiar passage to some of us, or maybe even to most of us. You know, these verses that we just read from Matthew chapter 6 are in fact a part of a longer portion of scripture that's known as Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, which covers from Matthew chapters 5 through 7. And it's a collection of Christ's teachings that includes the Beatitudes in chapter 5, but also the Lord's Prayer earlier in chapter 6. And some of us, if we grew up in church, we may remember the kids' song, Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Okay, I'm not going to sing. But you know what I'm talking about, right? So that may kind of ring a bell, right? You know, but even as I was reflecting on this passage and on the fact that as we enter 2020, I wanted to pose to you two questions. What are you worried about? Okay, there's some questions, okay? What keeps you up at night? What concerns you? And then the second main question is, what are you seeking? You know, what are you attempting to accomplish? What goals do you have for this new year? And I wanted to take a closer look in this passage. You know, it's the famous do not worry passage, right? Where Jesus uses the phrase do not worry three times. You know, first in verse 25, then in verse 31, and finally in verse 34. And he talks about the worries of life. He talks about, you know, where the next meal or drink will come from, and about the body and where the next set of clothes will come from. Well, you know, back in Jesus' days, there were basic needs. These were basic needs that weren't always met. And they were real sources of worry and concern. You know, people lived an entirely different lifestyle than we do today. You know, obviously they didn't have grocery stores or refrigerators. A good portion of daily life was spent thinking about where was my next meal going to come from? You know, the needs of the day. You know, what if the crops don't grow, right? What if there's not enough rain? The harvest is not good. What if there was a drought? You know, would they need to somehow slaughter the fattened calf? Or maybe scrounge up enough money to buy something, right? Or to share with neighbors. You know, while most of us today don't have to think about how we're going to get our next meal or drink, or if we're going to have enough clothes to wear, there are other things that sometimes weigh us down. You know, other things that we're concerned about. You know, today the worries that we may face may be about our future, right? Maybe about our finances. Maybe about our kids. You know, some of us may be worried because some of us are looking for a job. Some of us may be worried about a sick relative or a sick friend, or maybe even our own health issues. You know, maybe you're worried about your reputation. Maybe you're worried about what others may think of you or how they view you. You know, Jesus isn't negating these worries. You know, they are concerns. But you'll see later in the passage, what he's saying is sometimes when we focus so much on these worries that we lose sight of the big picture, which is really about the kingdom of God and about God's righteousness. You know, when we go back to this passage, you know, he talks about these two things that people are worried about, you know, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, three things, what you're going to wear. But then when you go back to the passage, you know, he used common day things like the birds of the air or the flowers of the field to illustrate a point, right? And when you go to verse 26, you know, it says, you know, the birds, look at the birds. How do they or other wild animals live? You know, they don't sow or reap or store away in barns, but yet it says that your heavenly Father feeds them in verse 26. And then the flowers and grass of the field from verses 28 to 30, it says, you know, they don't labor or spin, they don't toil, they don't work. But yet in verse 29, Jesus says that not even Solomon in all of his splendor and grandeur was dressed like the grass of the field. And then he goes on to say, if that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown in the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? You know, if God takes so much care and effort into a little bird or into a blade of grass that is so temporal, won't he even so much more take care of you and I? You know, one of the key words in this passage is the word Heavenly Father, which is mentioned in verses 26 and 32. Jesus refers twice to the word Heavenly Father. You know, the Heavenly Father is depicted as the one feeding the birds. He's the one as the one clothing the grass of the field. Verse 32 says that the Heavenly Father knows the things that we need. In fact, he knows our worries. He knows our concerns. He knows what you and I are concerned about. He knows what keeps us up at night. He doesn't dismiss them. He doesn't negate them. They're not illegitimate worries. All the things that we're concerned about, even right now, I don't know how you came in today. Maybe you came in extremely burdened or really concerned about something, worried about something. God knows. Your Abba knows. He cares deeply for each and every one of us. You know, in verse 8, Jesus says that your Father knows what you need even before you ask him. You know, this is the same Heavenly Father that knows the number of hairs on our head. Some of you have more than me, okay? So Matthew 10:30, right? He says he knows us so intimately that he knows how much hair is on Fong's head, right? And it's a nice head of hair, by the way. And he's the one who created us. And he's the one that David, in Psalm 139, when David says, "Oh Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit, when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord." Thank you, Luis, for sharing earlier. He knew your need. We didn't know you in November. Somehow you were just walking in the park with Marcelo. But he knew your need. This is how amazing God is. We didn't know him. We just met him, right? But somehow God orchestrated that and he spoke life into you. He encouraged you. He brought you up from a low point in your life. He gave you hope. This is how much God cares. If God can care for a bird, truly he can care for Luis and you. That's how amazing God is. We can't even orchestrate that, right? God knows us so intimately that this is only a work of the Almighty God. And this is how much he cares for you and I. But again, it doesn't stop at how much he cares for us. This is how much he cares for those still out there that are not in this building that we call New Vine for Church. This is how much God cares for the people on the streets. This is how much God cares for your neighbor. This is how much God cares for your classmate. This is how much God cares for your coworker. Whatever care or concern that you and I have, it's not too big for Almighty God. You know, when we look at Matthew chapter 7, I'm just going to read this to you, verses 9 through 11. It says, "Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" If a human father can give a child what he or she needs, how much more will our Heavenly Father, who created the heavens and the earth, supply all of your needs and my needs? You know, it really goes back to this relationship. When it says Heavenly Father, it's this relationship that you and I have with Abba, with our daddy, with our Heavenly Father. If we are his people, his son and his daughter, won't our Abba Father provide for us? Won't our Abba Father meet our needs? Are we holding on to this promise that the God who created us, he also loves us? The God who created us cares for us, knows exactly what you are concerned about right now, whether it be your finances, whether it be even your next meal, whether it be your health. God knows. And he cares. And he's saying today that I love you, my child. Trust in me. Depend on me. Are we recognizing God as our Heavenly Father and that he's also able to provide for us? You know, I want to hone in on verse 33. That says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." You know, Jesus talks about all these worries that we have, all these cares, all these concerns. But then in the last few verses of this passage of scripture, he says, "But," okay, so instead of worrying, it says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." All these things, all these worries, all these concerns, you know, your finances, your health, your job, your future, all these other things. It says, this is God's promise. Okay, Jesus said this, okay? It's not me, okay? Jesus is saying, if you seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, all these other things, that you think you need, that you think you know better than God, they will be added unto you. Again, this is God's promise. So we need to claim God's promise that if we seek Him, if we seek His kingdom, if we seek His righteousness, hey, you know what? God says that He's going to meet that need of mine. He's going to meet that concern of mine. It's like, well, God, you said it in your word, so I'm going to claim it, right? I mean, a lot of times we just know it in our heads, but we don't really know it in our heart. Or maybe we're just afraid. We're like, oh, this is too impossible. It's too big of a thing for God to do. But is it? No, it's not, right? But okay, so seek first. What are we supposed to seek? So I think my second bigger question was, what are we seeking as we enter this new year? What are you seeking, right? Some of you, I don't know, you're seeking a new job, maybe. Maybe some of you are seeking a significant other. Maybe you're seeking peace. Maybe you're seeking financial security, right? But as we enter into 2020, what are we seeking? What are we to look for? In verse 33, it says, but seek first what? Two things. His kingdom and His righteousness. Now, sometimes we may think that, well, it's an or. Well, you know, I'm okay just seeking God's kingdom, but not His righteousness. Or I'm just going to seek His righteousness and not His kingdom. But brothers and sisters, it's an and. It doesn't say or. It says seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And a lot of times we sometimes give priority over maybe the kingdom instead of His righteousness. But as you read it, it says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. These two go hand in hand. They're parallel. We're supposed to be seeking these two things together. What does it mean? His kingdom. You know, God's kingdom is the rule and reign of Christ in our lives. It's His kingdom. You and I are part of God's kingdom. As His believers, you are part of this kingdom of God. And His kingdom is always growing and expanding, right? As more people come into His kingdom, God's kingdom grows and expands. Are we seeking those things that are important to God? Are we seeking those things that matter to God's heart? Do we have the kingdom of God in mind as we go about our everyday lives? When you go back to work tomorrow, and I say this, I ask this myself, when I wake up tomorrow, does the kingdom of God, because my day off is tomorrow, so does the kingdom of God automatically, is that the first thing in my mind? A lot of times it's not. Right, I think of, oh my goodness, I have to get the kids to school. I need to get them out of the door. I don't want them to be late. I need to do this. But how frequently do I think of the kingdom of God? How frequently do you think of the things that matter to God's heart? Sure, kids are important. Sure, your job is important. Sure, you know, your whatever is important. But what about the kingdom of God? Is that important in your life? Do we live by kingdom principles and values? You know, and the other thing is His righteousness. You know, one thing is, it's not our righteousness. You know that as people, we sin. We are not righteous in and of ourselves. It's only because Jesus is the one who makes us righteous. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, God made Him who had no sin, Jesus, to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. Are we seeking after His righteousness to live a righteous life, to live a holy life, to have a way of life that is reflective of who Christ is? As Christians, as followers of Jesus, do you reflect the fragrance of Jesus? If someone were to look at your life, could they tell that you are a Christ follower? Can they see God's righteousness in you and me? Am I becoming more like Jesus every day? Is that what I'm seeking? Do I even desire to be like Jesus? Is that even on a list of things that's a goal? Do I say, Jesus, make me more like You. Help me to love like You. Help me to have mercy like You. Help me to be holy and righteous like You. Do we seek to be like him? And are we being transformed by his word? You know, we heard some people talking about time with Abba, spending time with God in his word, you know, a daily Bible plan. How much are we spending time with God daily in his word? How much are we spending time praying? You know, if you want to be like Jesus, but you don't spend any time like with him, you're not going to be like him, right? If you want to be like Jesus, if he's someone you want to emulate, if he's someone you want to get to know, it takes time. It takes intentionality. It takes discipline. Waking up at 6, way to go, Quinn, right? I mean, it's like, it takes effort. You're not going to be like Jesus just like that. If you want to be like someone, you got to follow them. You got to, like, whatever they do, you do. Spending time in God's word, spending time in his presence, praying, asking God, seeking after the things of his heart, his kingdom, his righteousness. That's what this verse is about, right? Are we seeking the things of God as a priority over the things in our own lives? Or do the things of this life and the world take more priority and God just kind of fills the gaps when it's convenient? When we have time? Do we have this eternal perspective in mind as we go about our normal routine? Or are we preoccupied with just our present reality and not remembering of the eternal kingdom principles? Seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness is for you and I today. You know, it's not meant to be put off. It's not for tomorrow or when I have time. It's not after I finish school. It's not after I get a job. It's not after I establish myself in my career. It's not after I get married. It's not after I get kids. It's not after I retire. It's for today. It's for January 5th, 2020. For you and I as a new Vine family. Sometimes at the beginning of the year, it's easy to be all gung-ho and say, yeah, I want this goal. I'm going to seek God, right? I'm going to like go so close in my relationship with God, which is great. But we have to seek God together in community, right? This is why you're here. This is why we gather. This is why we have a meal together. This is why we gather and encourage each other. This is why we have family time. This is why we hear testimonies of what God is doing in our lives and how real God is. We seek God together, not alone, but in community with each other. We have small groups. You know, these other groups that you talked about, either whether it be QQ or Soul Care, we have other groups, other small groups that meet during the week. New Vine community, the broader community is great, but sometimes you need deeper accountability. And this is why we're here as a church, to seek God together. Growing deeper together, being accountable to each other, seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. Those are the two things that I want to encourage you with today. That even as we start this new year, whatever worries, whatever concerns, whatever is on your heart, I want to invite you to bring them to Jesus. He cares. He's our Abba Father. He is the one who sent his son 2,000 years ago. And it's so appropriate that on this first Sunday of this new year that we get to remember what Jesus did for us on that cross 2,000 years ago, where his body was broken, his blood was shed, so that you and I could be called righteous because of what Jesus has done. So that you and I could know this Abba Father, this Father that cares for each one of us deeply, that is concerned with our health, that is concerned with our financial situation, that is concerned with our schooling. And so in a little bit, we're going to be observing the Lord's Supper. We're going to be going into a time of communion, and we're going to be coming up and remembering what Jesus did for us. But after that, we're also going to have a time, as you come up, We'll have people, our pastors and our leaders on the side. If you want to bring any care or any concern to Jesus and give it to him, we'll have people here to pray with you. If you want to say, Jesus, I want to seek you. I want to seek your kingdom this year. I want to seek your righteousness. I don't want to seek my own agenda. I don't want to build my own kingdom. I do not want to enlarge my own territory. But I really want to seek the things that matter to your heart. We'll also have people to pray with you and to just bless you and to seal that in the name of Jesus. But even as we enter this new year, I just want you to reflect on the passage that we read. You know, what are you worried about? What's on your heart? And do you realize that you have an Abba Father who cares for you so deeply, who so wants to have a deep relationship with you? And as we enter this new year, will you say, yes, God, I really want to seek you like I've never known before. I really want to seek your kingdom. Yeah, my things, they're on my mind, but I really want to put your kingdom and your thoughts before my issues. I'm going to let my issues take a back seat because in your word it says, if I seek you and your kingdom and your righteousness, that all those other things will be added unto me. So I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, to spend some time with the Lord right now, even as we reflect, even as some background music plays. Spend some time praying to the Lord. Ask him to reveal to you what it is that he wants you to release to him, what it is that you want, he wants you to commit to him this year as we enter in this new year, this new decade. And then when you're ready, come and partake of the Lord's Supper, that this is Jesus' body that was broken for you. This is Jesus' blood that was shed for you, for the remission of sins, for the forgiveness of our sins, that he is the one who makes us righteous. And that as we come to him, we can exchange, we can give him our worries, we can give him our cares, and we can say, Jesus, I want to seek you first, trusting that he will take care of everything else. So I invite you to just spend some time with the Lord right now. Jesus, we thank you for your work on the cross. We thank you for your body that was broken and your blood that was shed for us. Thank you, Lord, that we can gather and remember what you did for us, that we can have a relationship with our Abba Father. Father, we thank you for the ways that you care for us, that the ways that you are concerned for us, that you encourage us today that we do not have to worry, that you encourage us today to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Father, we want to commit ourselves to you as an individual, as a family, as a church community, that God, as we go into the year 2020, as we go into this new decade that you have given to us, that Lord, we do not enter it lightly, that we do not take the work on the cross lightly, that God, you would give us a new vision for your kingdom. You would give us a new calling, a new sense of purpose in our lives as a church, as an individual, Lord. Give us that kingdom calling. Give us your kingdom principles. So Father, we commit to you. We yield to you. We submit to your Holy Spirit's leading. God, we want to say more of your work in our lives, in our community. Thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray.